Welcome to Glitchcast, episode 71. We are talking Godzilla, King of the Monsters this week. We got a special guest here. My brother Pat is in the house yet again. How's it going, Pat?
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah,
I'm happy to be back.
Godzilla expert, Pokemon expert. God, I don't know when we'll have to phone you in again, but happy to have another expert here to bounce our reviews of Godzilla off each other. You were stoked for this one for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for this movie for a really long time. I'll try not to get ahead of myself, but really excited to see this, and I'm happy that I did.
Yeah, we're cracking some Trulies right now. It's the weekend. Austin might be back soon here. He's taking a little break, but thought we'd fill you in with a little filler episode and talk Godzilla, because we've been looking... Whew, God, we've been looking... This was like almost bigger than Endgame for you, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's jump into movie news. Ridley Scott to direct the third Alien prequel movie, which is currently in the script phase. So he did Prometheus and then Alien Covenant. Did you catch those two?
Prometheus, yes. Covenant, no.
Covenant was like, it was a good horror movie, but the characters made just literally the dumbest decisions every 10 seconds. They're like, well, we're on this alien planet. There's a plant there. Let me take my helmet off.
So it was the same thing as Prometheus, though.
Exactly. Oh, there's a alien plant here. I'll just breathe in the spores it's shooting up, and I should be fine. I feel like Ridley Scott needs to stay away from this franchise at this point.
What is it about people returning to the franchises that they started and just kind of ruining them?
Yeah.
George Lucas is doing it. Yeah. Apparently Ridley Scott is doing it. We might see someone else doing it when we talk trailers. It's bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's people's legacy. They want to see it through. I don't know. I'm not excited about this. Are you?
Not really. Yeah. I like the Alien movies, but I haven't seen Covenant, so they're not that important to me.
Did you see those short films?
Short films.
Yeah, they did some short films with like the release of the original like 40 years from now. I didn't catch them. I heard they're pretty good, though.
They need to let this rest for a little bit, this whole franchise, and just start over in like 10 years.
Yeah, much like, again, like you said, something else we're going to be talking about soon.
That's right.
Guillermo del Toro's noir thriller Nightmare Alley, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, to begin filming in September in Toronto. So that's a big get for our guy Guillermo. What do you think?
I think you nailed the name. Do we know what it's about?
You know, we probably do. But Austin's usually the one who actually clicks on things and reads the synopsis.
I wonder if this is something, how involved he is with this, because he likes to put his name on basically everything. And I'd like to see some more movies that he directs as opposed to just kind of paste his name on.
Yeah, I wonder if he... The film is based on the 1947 Fox movie that starred Tyrone Power, great name, as an ambitious young con man who hooks up with female psychiatrist who is even more corrupt than he is. At first, they enjoy success fleecing people with their mentalist act, but then she turns the table on him, out-manipulating the manipulator. Doesn't really sound like it's up his alley.
Yeah, I was hoping for something a little more fantastical or out of this world, but it sounds okay, I guess.
Did you catch... was it Shape of Water, his last effort?
I have not yet, no. Mm.
Austin will fight me on this, but I loved it.
I think I would too.
Yeah. It's kind of like a romance lovey monster horror movie with like a musical Broadway background.
Sounds perfect.
It's a very strange blend. And I'm sure you've heard what it may or may not entail as far as
I've heard some weird internet stuff.
Relations, yeah. Next up, Joel Kinnaman, who played What's-His-Face in the Suicide Squad, confirms involvement in James Gunn's Suicide Squad. So, let me show you a picture of Joel. Did you see Suicide Squad?
I haven't.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I love the marketing, but everybody kept saying how bad it was, so I just haven't figured I wouldn't spend
a little bit
of time watching it.
But now James Gunn is rebooting it. I didn't bring it up because it won't ring a bell for you. But what is this, some sort of Suicide Squad reboot starring the same Suicide Squad actors?
It's really weird. I keep following this reboot because I don't know what it is. It's a reboot, but it's not, because it has some of the same actors. But then it has some of the same characters, but they're replaced by different actors. So it's a half reboot? Like, what is it? It's a weird Frankenstein movie.
I don't know. Here, take a look at this. This is Joel Kinnaman. Does he ring a bell?
Yeah, I mean, I remember
like
from the trailers.
He's like generic. Like military
white
man.
Army military guy.
So Kinnaman joins Margot Robbie, who's back, Idris Elba, who replaces
Will Smith, right? Yeah.
And then Viola Davis, who is back. It's just like, either reboot it or don't. It's very strange, and I don't know.
They were lucky to get James Gunn, but I'm happy for him to be coming back into the Marvel fold.
Same.
Instead of wasting
good on
time
Disney.
On this. Yeah, good
on
him.
Disney. Christopher Nolan's spy thriller, which now has a name called Tenet, adds Interstellar stunt coordinator George Cottle. This movie stars Robert Pattinson, John David Washington from BlacKkKlansman, also Denzel Washington's son, and Elizabeth Debicki. So it's a spy thriller. I think we might have gotten a synopsis here, but Nolan, are you happy he's moving on from historical Dunkirk and going kind of hopefully back into the fantastical?
This doesn't sound super fantastical to me, so I'm kind of bummed.
It's a spy movie. Tenet, yeah. Which is filming on location across 7 countries, is an action epic evolving from the world of international espionage. So basically, he's doing Bond.
It sounds cool. My thing is with this is, like, I'm sure all the movies he put out are going to be great. I never saw Dunkirk because I want more from him. And he's one of probably the few directors that studios will just say, like, yeah, we'll give you whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And I want people like that to do more creative movies. Like, a lot of directors make spy movies. A lot of directors make war movies. I want more interesting things that you can't find every day, or things that I've not already seen before. And, like, he's the guy that I keep hoping will keep bringing these crazy ideas, like
pushing the
Inception. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, because he's the one that the studios trust that can make it a hit.
I stopped. It actually stars Kenneth Branagh, Michael Caine, Aaron Taylor Johnson, the dude from Kick-Ass and Godzilla 2014, and whoever Clemens Posey is. So Michael Caine, of course, back for a Nolan movie.
Nolan's always good at getting a ridiculously awesome cast.
Yeah. Robert Pattinson. I've got this in here somewhere. Yeah, I accidentally stuck it into TV news, but Robert Pattinson, speaking of, is officially the Batman. Okay, hold on. If Austin were here, he would be fighting you to the death right now. He is a Robert Pattinson lover, apologist. He's been doing some good roles lately, and, you know, I don't think you can blame him for Twilight.
No, I've heard he's actually a really, really great actor. It's just really hard to shake that, and I feel bad for him because that's what most people are going to see. But, hey, remember A Knight's Tale and 10 Things I Hate About You and then how Heath Ledger turned out, so... Mm-hmm. It's hard because that's all I see him as, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, he's got the jaw. I think he's got the square face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people can easily put on muscles and weight in Hollywood these days with some drugs.
Honestly, the bigger problem is that it's a DC movie.
Yeah.
I'm not as worried about him being in it as the fact that it's another DC movie.
Nowadays. Do we have a director? What would you say if Nolan was directing it? You'd immediately become all in, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't want that.
Come
on. Why is he going back with, like, a totally different cast to the same thing? I want him to do new boundary-pushing stuff, cooler things. Like, if he came back and it was Christian Bale again, I wouldn't even want that. The trilogy is fine. Just leave it alone. I think it's... is it Matt Reeves?
Matt Reeves, yeah. Yeah, no, Reeves will produce... I think he's directing as well, yeah. Affleck was going to direct, but pulled out.
Right.
Okay. I'm into this. I like Robert Pattinson. I've seen him in a couple things these days. He's a legit actor, and I think he can bulk up, and he's got the jaw, and hopefully, I mean, I want DCEU to be good. Mm-hmm. I want them to bounce back, so.
Well, is this even going to take place in what they've established so far? Is this something entirely so? It's just like Suicide Squad. Who knows?
They gave up on, like, the connecting.
Okay. Stuff, that's probably for the best.
You haven't seen Shazam either. Shazam's really good. So I think they're bouncing back here.
Hope so.
Silicon Valley to end after season 6 on HBO. Your thoughts?
Oh, no. That's one of my new favorite shows. I'm really bummed, but it probably makes sense to do that. I don't know that there's a ton more they can do. Mm-hmm. It's hard. I don't think this is super spoily, but it's hard to constantly see ups and downs. And it's just like, how much more can you really draw that out?
So the only thing about this show is they create some awesome tech.
Mm-hmm.
Someone either steals the technology or there's a gaping, like, security hole.
Yep.
They lose all their money. Then they create some awesome tech, get a bunch of funding. Someone either steals the technology or it crashes and burns. Then they raise a bunch of money. It's the same thing.
It's a little bit repetitive.
Absolutely hilarious. Still a great show, but good to see it go out in its prime. Like, yeah, it hasn't suffered or anything lately.
Right. I'd much rather it go out like this than how The Office went out, where they just kind of kept losing main cast members and then pushing it more and more. Let it go out while it's still really good.
Those last couple of years of The Office, I just gave up. And then I went back and watched, and it was very hard to do.
It was really bad.
But at least Michael comes back for the finale. That's cute.
Spoilers.
Dude, it's years ago. Don't even start. All right. I know you watched this show as well. The Handmaid's Tale, Early Impressions, Season 3. Elizabeth Moss is as good as ever, the cinematography as moody as ever, and the plot as frustratingly repetitive as ever. I could tell this was kind of where it's going. We'll try not to spoil it here, but it kind of just redoes itself every season.
Yep.
And it's going to keep doing that, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to know where they can really go with it. I was really frustrated with the finale last season because I really thought that it was... Yeah. I don't think it's what someone in her position would necessarily do without giving anything away, but I don't know what else they can really do without having a complete tonal shift in how everything that's come before it.
And like a production shift too.
Yeah.
Like they have to keep reusing the same sets to be budget friendly. Like if they were to do what we want them to do, it'd be a whole new show in a new setting with new characters. And like literally like 80% of what they film is like in a house, right, just like depressing stuff.
And I think it's based off a book, I believe. Yeah. It's just a one book. I don't think it's like a whole series.
Season one was supposed to be the book.
Right. And so at this point, they're probably so far off book, they're just kind of making things up as they go, which doesn't usually work out that well. But
never.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed to hear that the repetition is there, but everything else sounds good.
And I hate that I have to not like Elizabeth Moss. I think she's an incredible actor, but she's a damn dirty Scientologist. So.
Oh.
Yeah. She's a terrible person.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. All right, let's talk trailers. That's it for news. Let's talk about two franchises with two dudes that are really old that just keep coming back for more. Let's start with Rambo Last Blood. So Rambo, wasn't Rambo about just like a soldier with PTSD, like initially, and now he's like a supervillain or hero, I guess you could call him. Rambo Last Blood. I think I saw Rambo 1 and 2 when I was a kid. The whatever the last Rambo was I saw, and then this one is more the same here. What are your thoughts?
Who watches Rambo?
I don't know.
Like, I don't get it. I saw the trailer and I'm like, why? Like,
it's just not... him like grunting about like I want them to see in my eyes that death is coming.
It's like it's not. I don't think it's our generation that watched it. Maybe our parents, and it's like. Are they really chomping at the bit? Was Rambo the like defining quality of them, their like movie going experience? I just don't know who it's for anymore. It seems like it's just one of those things that's like, well, it's recognizable. People in pop culture know the name, so let's just make another one and maybe we'll get enough people into the theater to make a profit.
I think it's pretty clear that he'll probably die in this and that'll be the end of it.
Probably for the best. Last until they blood, reboot it again in title? 20 yeah. years. Yeah.
With Stallone's kid or something.
Yeah, I'm not.
Michael Cera.
It looked at least... Kind, I mean, it's different, right? Like, it looks different enough. It's not in a jungle.
It's not like him in the jungle or him and like, fighting the Mexican cartel. It seems like they're coming to his home, maybe?
I don't know.
I'll be honest. I barely watched the trailer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another one. Terminator. God, I forgot the title. Dark Fate?
Who cares?
Was that the last one? Hold on. I gotta just do my journalistic duty.
I think it's called Yet Another Terminator Movie.
Terminator Dark Fate. Yeah, what were your thoughts on this one? We get Sarah Connor officially back. She looks old, but kind of at least in shape and badass. She looks cooler here than she even did in Chuck.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Mackenzie Davis, Arnold's back, some Hispanic woman that might be the cure for saving the world, I guess.
Okay, so this takes place after Terminator 2 Judgment Day, right? So Terminator...
It ignores Terminator 3. The Bale one with version. Christian Bale. And it also ignores the Daenerys one.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anything since 3. So
okay.
I care very little about Terminator at this
Same
point.
Here. Yeah. I saw 3 with that Christina Loken chick. That was... What happened to her?
Oh,
I've
wow.
I've never seen
her
in anything. She was like the hot blonde
for about
girl
a minute
of that
there,
year.
Yeah.
So
where was John Connor? Isn't the entire point of the Terminator series is that he's the one that saves humanity? Did they just write him out for...
Some people have said that the Hispanic girl might be pregnant with some son... Him? I don't know. But the timing's all... The timeline's all screwed
but
up.
But Sarah Connor is his mom.
I know. I don't get it.
It doesn't matter. This is exactly what I was talking about, James. Because James Cameron's back to at least produce it, right?
Yeah. I think it's just another... They're putting his name on it. Just like Guillermo del Toro puts his name on everything. Oh. Okay, so we put this in our Slack channel, and my response was like, I feel nothing.
Yeah.
It's just, like, there's a scene where it's just CG planes in the dark running into each other, and, like, Mackenzie Davis is, like, hanging out the window. It's like, doo, doo, and I just don't care.
Who are these movies for? I don't have that big of an attachment to this. They haven't been good in a long time, or at least interesting enough for me to even want to see them. It just doesn't feel necessary, and I don't understand. I mean, the casual movie-going person isn't going to understand why this is... Like, nobody knows, oh, we're going to ignore the other four movies that came out, and we'll just pick up where the last good one left off. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And then the hardcore people are probably just annoyed that it's been, I don't know, just stop.
Ready to bash it. We sound very cynical here, but listen, Terminator has burned us many, many times here, and this, to me, looks bad and not exciting.
It's tough listening to a podcast when people just complain the whole time. There's lots of good stuff out there.
Trust me, guys, in about 10 minutes, we're going to just... be so happy for the rest of the entire episode. We would talk about Godzilla. We got two more trailers to get through. We're not cynical assholes. Let's talk about Onward real quick. The new epic from Pixar/Disney, starring Chris Pratt, Tom Holland, bunch of other people. It is about a fantasy type world that has lost all of the fantasy and the magic. There are, like, unicorns and orcs and fairies and stuff, but it just seems like they're just living in a monotonous earth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all we really know. I'm assuming they go and the magic comes back.
Maybe. I'm going to continue being
the one. God, yeah, you're right. It doesn't look very good.
It doesn't look that good. If I watched that without seeing the title with Disney Pixar in there, I would have assumed that it was absolutely a DreamWorks movie.
Shrek.
Just, like, even the art direction, stylistically, it just doesn't look like Pixar bringing their A game. They're usually really good at making something look their style, and this feels very DreamWorks, or I don't remember the other animation house, but it doesn't feel very Pixar-ish. Like
Despicable Me people.
Yeah.
Illumination Studios, yes, I think. Yes. Yeah.
I have faith because at least it's not another Pixar sequel. I'm really happy that it's... They've said
after Toy
Story
4, they're done with sequels and they're going to be only making original films.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Hopefully we get that Newt movie someday.
It's never happening.
Why?
It's honestly, that movie was a rehash of 100 other movies that have already existed.
But it's got a cute little Newt in it.
I want to see that blue-footed Newt.
It's good. Yeah. Not looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But now, let's switch gears here and just be fawning over a movie for the next probably 45 minutes. That's it for movie news and trailers. It's time to talk about Godzilla, King of the Monsters, directed by Michael Dougherty, who directed Trick or Treat, Krampus, a couple other short films. Anything else big that I'm missing from Michael Dougherty?
I don't think so. I've loved all those films, though.
Yeah, he's a really good practical effects monster guy. I was excited to see what he could do on the big scale. This has a stat cast. Kyle Chandler, the coach from that football show. What did you say?
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights. Vera Farmiga, she's in a ton of stuff. Millie Bobby Brown is 11 from Stranger Things. Ken Watanabe, ton of stuff. Ziyang. Was it Ziyang Ziyi? Anyway, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Gal. Bradley Whitford, who is Eric from Billy Madison. Hilarious. He's also in Handmaid's Tale Season 2.
That's right.
Sally Hawkins, who loves monsters. She's in The Shape of Water. Charles Dance, who is Tywin from Game of Thrones. Thomas Middletich, who is Silicon Valley nerd. Also, those absolutely terrible Verizon commercials.
Right.
Aisha Hinz, I can't remember what she's from. I think she's from an HBO show. And then O'Shea Jackson, who is Ice-T's son? No, God. Oh, I'm blowing this. Who's the other rapper? Straight out of Compton. Good God. He literally plays him in the movie.
I don't know.
Austin's going to kill me. Oh, my God. Hold on. Yeah, he's the son of the rapper Ice Cube.
Okay.
He literally plays Ice Cube in Straight Outta Compton.
Okay.
Statcast, let's talk about it. So, coming right out of theaters, we got out of the theater about 25 half hour ago. What are your initial thoughts coming out of that theater? Keeping in mind that we are massive Godzilla fans, watched the VHSs growing up, huge into the lore. You're way bigger into it than I am. That's why you're here. Tell me your fresh, hot off the press thoughts about this movie.
I'm exhausted in a good way. Mm. It was just filled with energy. I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. It's exactly what I wanted out of a Godzilla movie, a Hollywood Godzilla movie. It was great. I liked it a lot. I was thoroughly entertained the entire time.
Yeah, so I'll say one thing that I'll probably repeat a bunch of times. This movie was all sorts of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, was it beautiful.
Every Godzilla movie is all sorts of stupid, it was except the 54.
Just every monster scene is my new desktop wallpaper.
Yes.
It was... I've never seen kaiju monsters creatures Titans. Look so absolutely beautiful, mm-hmm. godlike, angelic.
Mm-hmm.
Just forces of nature. Like, it was mind-blowingly awesome, but also mind-blowingly stupid.
Yeah, the visuals were absolutely stunning. I liked that. I don't know, with this type of movie, you could probably bring in any by-the-numbers director who can just make chaos and destruction and things like that. But, like, I love that they paired, like, all of the destruction with, like, a ton of, like, the beauty of what these creatures are and can bring as well. And I think that's, you know, there's a little bit of, like, thematic in the movie that sort of, like, revolves around that. Is like, okay, are these things, are they destructive? Like, should we get rid of them? Like, are they part of this world? Are they a force of nature? And I think that's really cool because there's just so many really pretty shots. And yeah, it was really visually breathtaking. They were all really beautiful to look at, and I just want to keep looking at them.
Yeah, I hope this movie makes a ton of money. Like, I didn't go to this movie expecting The Shawshank Redemption.
No.
And I feel like some of the Rotten Tomato reviews are people that haven't watched a ton of Godzilla movies, mm-hmm. don't have the appreciation for the Japanese films, didn't watch the Trainwreck / slightly beloved cult classic Roland Emmerich Godzilla that the Toho people don't really talk about. But yeah, man, I didn't go into it expecting a tight script or like incredible dialogue. I went in expecting to see massive, beautiful kaiju one-on-ones, 2v1s, 3v1s, just chaos. And it was some of the most, some of the battle scenes looked like freaking a painting. Like, it was gorgeous.
Yeah,
the
it was color really, palette. Visually very breathtaking, really interesting to look at, really interesting to watch. Enough variety, too.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's usually a lot of dark and rainy scenes in these types of movies because it helps cover up the visual effects and it makes the budget a little bit lighter. But they had enough variety in locales and different scenery, I think, that made it fun to watch.
Yeah, we had ice settings, there was desert settings,
jungle,
and then, of course,
underwater.
The buildings. Yeah, we had some underwater.
City.
Like, if you think back to Godzilla, what was it, 98 with Fake Godzilla?
I think so.
It was like everything was in New York. Mm-hmm. It was kind of boring visually. Like, you compare really those flat. Two movies visually, like, I seriously want to make every scene in this movie my phone wallpaper. Like, it is beautiful.
And we knew that watching that absolutely gorgeous trailer, too.
Yes. I literally almost broke down and cried.
The movie does the awesome. Trailer, as far visually speaking, it does it justice, for sure.
And I think soundtrack-wise, it was incredible as well. There was a ton of nods to old themes. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very, you know, there was, like, chanting and, like
I just, love like, that. The chanting
the soundtrack
so
was
good.
Awesome. Bear McCreary just brought it.
He absolutely brought it. I loved it. I've been wanting to listen to this soundtrack basically all week, but I know that the names of each individual track could be spoilers for what happens in the movie, so I held off, but I'm going to be having this on repeat. Really, really good. I love that he incorporated the classic Godzilla main theme. Yes. They didn't do that in the 2014 movie, which I was really bummed about because I adore that.
Didn't they in the beginning or the end?
No, I don't think it showed up at all. I'm pretty certain because I missed it. Mm-hmm. They did a nod to it in Cloverfield.
Oh, yeah, I remember
what you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking
about.
But this was, I'm so glad that he brought that in. Really sounded great. Lots of really good tracks that make you feel super pumped up for what's about to happen and adds to sort of like the mysticism of what these creatures are and like just the age of them. And yeah, it did a really good job complementing the visuals.
Yeah, I love how they went for like, when you talk about Godzilla 98 and even 2014, they don't really play them up as like mystical gods. In this movie, they really do. They're like, these aren't normal creatures. These aren't normal animals. Like, these are like either from another planet or from another time or from another, like, we just don't understand even what they are. So like, they're gods to us. Like, we need to be careful with what we're doing here.
And they made them feel really ancient too, which I liked, because that helps a little bit with that suspension of disbelief as to why there's suddenly these giant monsters. Like, it was kind of cool that it's like, hey, these used to be the apex predators on Earth and they're back.
So we'll get into spoilers soon, but before we talk script, let's talk cast and the characters. So what do you think about Kyle Chandler? I thought, it seemed like Kyle Chandler, Vera Farmiga, and Millie Bobby Brown, they had a family, and then spoilers, something happens and they're kind of a divorced family. You kind of get that from the trailer.
Yeah.
But that dynamic, you know,
it was serviceable
it
to
was
the plot.
Background.
Like, yeah, it's that's a good way of putting it. It was the background.
Yeah. What did you think was better? The family dynamic and drama and characters with Aaron Taylor Johnson,
Elizabeth Olsen.
Elizabeth Olsen, yes. And who was the kid? There was like a kid, wasn't there?
A kid.
That versus this movie.
100% this movie.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I might say this movie too, because at least they're, like, Vera's wacky in this movie. Vera Farmiga is wacky in this movie.
And I could I guess I could relate a little bit more to this one because it's more from, well, not entirely, but a little bit more from maybe a civilian point of view versus like a soldier point of view. He was just Aaron Taylor Johnson, yeah. Right? He was just kind of boring.
Generic.
And Marine. Yeah, and it was that might have like just been soldier? The fact that he was, yeah, soldier, supposed to follow orders or whatever, but like it just didn't really feel much there. And like these guys aren't a ton better,
yeah,
but it's something. Like I think the family dynamic works a little bit more than like, and we got to see them like a little bit together and like a little bit more of their background. I don't know. It doesn't,
again,
the characters have never been the star of a Godzilla movie. Yeah, they're just there because they don't have the budget to do 2 hours of monsters fighting.
Okay, Ken Watanabe is back to say Gojira and be mysterious and Japanese.
So stoic for everything.
We were talking about this on the ride home. Like, it just seemed like every 10 minutes they were like, what should we do now? And he's like, Gojira. He's there to say Gojira.
I liked him.
You like him, huh?
I like him, yeah. I like him. I don't think lately all the movies he's been in, it seems like he just shows up for a paycheck. But I, that like might just be who he is. The
Pokemon movie that we just talked about? He's like, your father would have been
I'm proud. Like, you don't even care what you're in. But I don't know. I like him. I like his character in this because he's the kind of person that's like, he believes that these creatures are here and that they're there for a reason and that they aren't just like a destructive force necessarily, and that we should try to find a way to make it work.
And you relate to that because that's what you believe.
Right, exactly. That's exactly like he thinks Godzilla is like this cool, just like awesome living creature that he wants to protect. And like, if I was in that situation, if I wasn't getting killed, I would sort of feel that same way, right? Like, we don't want to just, we don't understand it, but that doesn't mean we need to destroy it.
Yeah. Ziyi Ziyang, she was there to also say things. Bradley Whitford, I thought Bradley Whitford, who plays Eric in Billy Madison, he was hysterical.
He was pretty funny.
Some corny, terrible script lines, like he was more like the most human character there that wasn't just saying the lines that the script was given. It felt like he was injecting some of himself into the movie and just like, yeah, go ahead, let's bring him in, have a beer. Like, he was funny.
I thought he would be worse from the trailers. Like, I actually wasn't looking forward to him in this movie. Like, I could... Before we went in, I was like, I can tell I'm already not going to like this.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, it was just enough to add some levity to everything that was going on, but not enough that it was like too annoying. Much. Yeah, and annoying. Yeah.
And to be fair, before we go any further on characters, let's just get into the script. It was bad.
It was real bad.
Yeah. Like, the script existed to get like monster A to monster B and to like setting A to setting B and to like set up fight number one to fight number two, which is fine.
That's the thing. It's like,
I'm okay with it.
I don't care.
I don't care.
Not every movie is designed to be a really great movie. Like,
right. And I did not, we went in with no expectations.
Exactly.
Like that.
It's an enjoyable movie if you're into this sort of thing. If you don't like giant creatures or creatures at all, you're not going to get much out of it. You're not going to make an emotional connection to any of the characters, I don't think. But as someone who grew up on these types of movies, who loves any sort of creature design, I didn't really care about the script. For me, it was did its purpose, which is to just move things from point A to point B. And that's fine.
All right. Devil's advocate here. You could say the same thing about Transformers 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who grew up with Transformers, they say, well, you're not expecting a good script. The script in Transformers sucks. We know that. But I think here it's different. I think the director here took care to take the creatures, show them how they... like. Put a good look on them visually, whereas Michael Bay and the Transformers, like, I can't even tell what's going on when they're fighting.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying earlier.
It's just CG beams shooting at each other.
Right. They brought in a director who could they could have easily outsourced this to anybody who can make a disaster movie, but they brought in somebody who could actually make disaster look visually appealing. And, like, that to me helps elevate this above just generic action popcorn summer movie, right? Like, it actually has a little bit of craft into it, a little bit of care, a little bit of talent. The Transformers movies,
it's just metal on metal.
Yeah,
gray,
it just got exhausting after a while. By the third
color palette here,
right?
Incredible.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. There's just something about it that makes it more than just a popcorn movie.
Yeah,
a little bit more.
We got Sally Hawkins here. She's from the last movie as well. She's there to kind of fill in some exposition.
Yeah.
Look surprised when monsters show up. Charles Dance, pretty good villain here in this movie.
He has such an intimidating, commanding presence.
If anytime he was my dad, I would have shot him with a crossbow too. Shit. Ooh,
spoilers. Anytime he's on screen, I'm just like, whew.
Yeah.
He is so intimidating. He
could say
awesome.
Any line and make it sound awesome. Yes. Like Liam Neeson.
Between the accent and just the way that he looks, just
his, like,
he's always so stern.
Nose.
Yeah.
like his in just flat.
He's great. Stern he was face. Great. I mean, he didn't do anything other than just talk sternly, but that was long live it was the great. King.
Yeah, Thomas Middleditch, fine, funny, a little bit.
I can't keep track of who
Silicon Valley guy.
Oh yeah, he was fine. He added again. He added some light jokes to the movie, and he didn't overstay his welcome, which he could have.
Aisha Hinz was the general, the black shaved head general.
Oh, woman. The woman from Wakanda.
Yes,
basically. That's who she reminded me of. Is Black Panther's she's, like second in command gal. Or whatever. Yep. Yeah,
she just kind of gives orders the whole movie.
Yeah,
nothing there.
She was fine. Whatever.
Yeah. O'Shea Jackson, the other soldier, Ice Cube's son.
Yeah, he did okay.
Yeah,
he was a soldier.
He was a soldier. Yep. Yeah. Again, bad script, but I don't care.
Nope.
Bad character sound development, like but cons, I don't care.
And maybe they are if you're judging the movie against other movies that are trying to be like really well thought out pieces. But like this is just they needed to have characters and they did and it was fine.
Yeah. I would take the characters here and the development here and the script here over all of the Transformers movies.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's give it a review. I know this always stresses you out. I've got my review ready. Austin just skips it. I'll start with mine. In Godzilla, King of the Monsters, nearly every scene with humans and story progression was face-palmingly bad and stupid. But every single scene with the monsters was incredible, jaw-dropping, epic, and beautiful. If you're coming in for a good story, you've come to the wrong place. But if you came here to watch a goddamn Godzilla movie, see it in the best theater you possibly can. I'll give it a B+. I was thoroughly entertained. Nice. It's not great, but it is freaking awesome.
It
what
really is
you?
Enjoyable. Godzilla King of the Monsters is a fun, thoroughly entertaining popcorn movie that outshines the usual big-budget summer fare, but unfortunately shares the same shortcomings thanks to a silly script and mostly uninteresting humans. Thankfully, the Titan-sized visuals and monster-on-monster action doesn't disappoint, and really, that's what I showed up to see. Give it a B+. Okay. I think I need a little bit more time after seeing a movie to kind of see how it lands with me, but that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't go A and go full fanboy on me.
No, I'm it takes... It takes a lot for me. A movie has to be really, like, different and really grab me so I can't stop thinking about it. Whereas, like, this is just what I wanted.
So you're saying what would elevate it to an A is, like, you knew you were going to get what you wanted, which is the monster fights. Mm-hmm. You're saying if you went in and you're like, holy shit, by the end I was, like, crying when this character died. Yeah. Or, like, I was really surprised at how, like, attached I was to this character. Mm-hmm. Or, like, man, that script was tight. That would have brought it.
I had to be taken by surprise. Like, I had to go in it and be like, whoa. Like,
so
okay,
so searching.
That's exactly what I was going to use. Is I had no idea that that movie would grab me the way it did.
So it's all about expectations for you.
It might be, yeah. I think it might.
Okay. I was hoping you weren't going to fanboy out of me and give it like an A.
Nope. It has problems, but it does a great job at what it set out to do.
All right, that's it for non-spoilers. If you haven't seen this movie, exit now. Next week or the week after, we're going to have insert movie here. I'm not sure what our plan is, but we'll let you know on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Make sure to follow us. Give us a review. Go to glitchup.com/Amazon and order some stuff. We get a tiny, tiny percentage. We'll either have some new content or a podcast up with you soon. Thanks, Pat, for joining.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hope you guys enjoyed our quick review of Godzilla. And now we're going to spoil this thing because there's a lot to talk about here. I've got probably another 15, 20 bullets here, and I know you probably do too. Let's
go. I can't wait. Let's dig in.
All right. I'm going to start with, I love how conveniently stupid some of this like movie was. Like, Vera Farmiga at one point goes on a villainous dialogue and somehow has clips of everything that she's talking about ready to like slideshow on the screen. She's like, if we don't release the Titans, then climate change and human and overpopulation, and then there's overpopulation. She's like, the effects of the Titans are good. And then it shows like San Francisco after the Titans and then like greenery growing. I'm like, did she have this ready?
Yeah, like how long has she been working on this slideshow?
Yeah, a lot of the humans were there literally just to set up setting A, setting B, monster fight A, monster fight B.
Some there's really a lot of stuff silly there. Like last minute saves or every one of the soldiers gets wiped out except for the one that we've met for 14 minutes and they're trying to develop into a character or it jumps out at the last minute. It's just like, there's so many convenient things that happen that it's like frustrating. Like, oh, she gets the orca. Conveniently, it's the most, literally in this world, it's the most powerful thing you can have, right? Because it can control the Titans.
Yep.
Jumping a little ahead here, but no one decides to guard that?
Oh, that was unbelievable.
What? So that a child can take it?
Just walks up to it. takes it.
You can literally control death with this thing. These things are so powerful.
The planet with this box.
No one watches it. Now one of these mercs is going to take it. I mean, these guys clearly aren't good guys. Now one of them takes it and sells it to
a different... They're thugs
for hire. Like,
This is keeping it from a B to an A.
Probably.
Is at least make 11 have to outsmart somebody right. to get this box.
Throw something so that they go...
Throw a rock. Like, yeah.
Whatever.
Flirt with them. Yeah, I don't care.
It's fine. I don't care.
Go ahead. What do you got? What do you want to talk about?
I kind of wanted to just, like, I don't know. Should I get, like, because I have some spoilery stuff that I'm, like, a little bummed on, but yeah. only on the fact that, like, I'm a huge fan. So, like, I wanted to see these things and I didn't. So, like.
We don't have to go in any sort of order.
Okay. Then I'm just going to kind of jump in. Like,
yeah.
Kind of bummed that we didn't get to see the usual team up of, like, Rodan, Mothra, and Godzilla against Ghidorah.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I've assumed would be happening, and that maybe that's my fault. Most of the movies that feature Ghidorah, the older movies, have them teaming up because he's such a powerhouse that it usually takes all three of them. In this movie, Rodan's, like, one of my boys. Like, he's probably, like, my third, you know, top five favorite.
Yeah.
So they made him a lot more villainous. He's usually, he can be sort of a villain, but he usually ends up being, like, somewhat neutral
Starscream. He ends up bowing, like.
Yeah. He bends the knee to
multiple right times. Right away. Yeah. And he's just a bitch.
So I was kind of bummed that we couldn't see the three of them take on Ghidorah, but
yeah.
I'm glad that they did him justice, and they made him really, really cool.
Yeah, he looked amazing.
He looked so good.
Obviously, King Ghidorah is going to steal the show with, like, how visually awesome he looks, but I was really impressed by Rodan's design. Like,
yeah.
His beak, his claws, just, like, his eyeball.
The
like,
embers, he just looked menacing. Just the fact that he was constantly burning because he's born from a volcano, the fact that his wings are just always on fire, just looked really, really cool.
Yeah. Do you think it's good that they didn't do the normal team up and maybe they were going to, like, subvert expectations a little bit?
Yeah, it's
for
fine.
People like you?
Yeah, I guess. I'm always... It's tough because, like, I just love these creatures. So, like, anything that aren't just always the bad guy, like Ghidorah, like, I'm always just rooting for them. And every time I feel myself wincing, like, when somebody, like, one of them gets hurt, I'm just like, oh, I don't want him to go.
You don't want any of the monsters to go?
No.
Yeah. Like,
maybe Ghidorah, just because I've always known he's been the villain for 30 years.
So, but I had forgotten... I thought when Godzilla tore one of the heads off, I thought two more were going to grow back. That's a different monster, right? Or is that like a mythical creature where if you cut off the head, two more grow?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's a Greek thing.
The Hydra or something.
Yeah,
Hydra.
Yeah, cut off the head and two more grow.
Yep.
Okay. So I was a little confused on that. And then I had forgotten that the head does grow back. So I was like, oh, I'm sad they cut off the third head so early in the movie. I don't want them to fight with two.
That's where some of the trailers kind of screwed things up for me. Because I'm being like, well, I haven't seen that scene yet. And I'm pretty sure I had three heads in that scene. So I wonder what's going on here.
Oh, did the trailer show him with two?
No, that's what I'm saying is that like, before I had seen a fight scene with him with three heads, like when he takes off and flies at Godzilla in a trailer, like, and then he had lost one of his heads early on. I was shocked though. I literally was like, I'm like, whoa, that's interesting. And then it kind of grew back. I'm like, that's weird.
A lot of my stuff is like the last hour because that's where all the good fights are.
Yeah.
So what else do you have outside of the last like hour? Do you have anything like early or setup or plot wise? I think we touched on most of the plot and it's not worth talking about.
Yeah, it's really not. It did fine. I don't care.
I think like the unearthing and like the meeting of Mothra was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Getting reintro to Godzilla was cool for the first time. The de-icing of Ghidorah was incredible. That first fight, people realize like, what have we done? Like right away. But like I said, a lot of my stuff is like the final third, just awesome fight stuff. What else do you got before that?
I sort of gave a gripe, but I'll say that I'm really happy with the fact that, and it was just such a, like a throwaway line, but it made me really happy that Ghidorah wasn't of the Earth, that he actually was an extraterrestrial. Because in all of the older movies, that's sort of his origin. He comes to Earth and he's this otherworldly force. And I really love that they threw that in there because in the universe that they've set up, most of these Titans are more animalistic. They look like something that could have existed either prehistorically or nowadays, right? Like Mothra is a giant moth. Rodan's like a giant bird, bat, pterodactyl thing.
Yeah.
So most of these things, and like that's how they've like pitched them, is that, and their fighting's very like animalistic. It's like taken after actual animals. Ghidorah is a three-headed, two-tailed, winged thing that doesn't have hands and can grow back heads.
It doesn't resemble anything we've got.
Yeah, I was like, I don't buy that.
Except my wife. Oh!
I hope she heard that.
Oh, God.
So I didn't buy, like, as I'm watching him regenerate a third head, I was like, I don't buy that this is just a prehistoric beast, because that's not the way that life worked on our planet. Now, granted, this is a movie about a giant lizard who's, like, breathing atomic breath, but I'm just glad. It was, like, such a simple, like, line that was probably throwaway, but it made me very happy.
Yeah, I mean, Godzilla's, like, a lizard, like a giant Komodo dragon, kind of.
That walks just on 2 feet. Like, big, I feel like T-Rex-ish thing.
He's believable.
Right.
So I'm with you on that. Yeah, I remember here, you know, knowing that he came from, like, outer space or from somewhere, so it was cool that they brought that back. What did you think about all of the other kaiju that clearly weren't from the Toho verse? Could they not just shell out the big bucks for getting more, or is Toho really protective over their property, or what's going on here?
For
those of you who don't know, Toho, why don't you tell me what?
Toho is the original production company behind the original, I think it's 54, Gojira, or Godzilla for us, and have been making all the subsequent movies. I believe they have a deal with Legendary in which they licensed out the property for them to do a number of movies.
Yeah.
I believe the contract ends after the next one. And in this sequel, they were able to license out Ghidorah and Rodan and Mothra. Those were the only ones that they got the rights to, so they couldn't use anything else. And this movie features a large number of extra Titans outside.
Yeah.
But they were all original creations. And it was cool. I loved, like, the way they looked. There's this huge gorilla mammoth thing that was, like, really weird
giant,
and
weird
cool.
Giant weird spider that looked like he was straight out of Skull Island.
Yeah. And then they had some of the Mudos from the previous movie in there.
I don't really like the Mudo
design. I didn't love those designs.
Sharp and
they're a little angry. Weird.
Yeah.
But it's cool because I like to see what they came up with. And I actually liked all of the things they came up with. What I was disappointed and bummed about is that, like, this movie has, like, a scene and it sort of is the idea behind the movie that all these Titans are starting to, like, rise up, and that's, like, a perfect situation for them to, like, dig into the back catalog
and start, like, building the universe.
Yeah, and, like,
out.
Pull some of these from that were, like, my boy Anguirus, I believe is how you pronounce it. He's, like, the Ankylosaurus type one
spiky,
that can roll up with Spikey.
Yeah.
He's, like, number two to Godzilla in these movies. Like, they're boys, and, like, I would have loved to have seen him at that end scene when Godzilla is essentially kind of crowned king, right? Like, it would have been really cool to see him there in that, because he's my favorite, and I'm just bummed that they couldn't get more. But, you know, maybe in future installments.
Hey, I'm happy we got all of this.
I'm very happy.
I think they made it pretty clear in this movie. They basically opened with a monster scene, so right out of the gate, they're like, you're gonna see some monsters in this movie, unlike 2014 where it was a giant tease the whole time. What else you got before the final third here?
I liked that. So, like Detective Pikachu, it felt like this movie was in the right hands and that they actually had reverence for the source material as opposed to, hey, we've got the IP for Godzilla. Let's make a movie and try to make money.
Mm-hmm.
There were a ton of little nods to older movies. Like, they did it right. They didn't radically redesign anybody. It just goes to show that the 98 movie really didn't need to happen, and that audiences are okay with things sticking a little bit closer to the source material.
Yes.
Maybe it looks a little silly, but I don't know. They made it very believable. The designs were different enough that it made it look real, but not different enough that it changes the actual core design of the character.
I never cared about Mothra too much, but I found myself liking her in this movie.
Yeah, it was a good redesign.
In the old movies, she just fluttered there, and there's, like, these twins that came out and sung. Talk to me about that. What is that all about?
So,
I remember hating Mothra.
Yeah, I mean, she's
lame.
She's always, like, the benevolent, like, good force of the earth.
Just
she's
around
fine.
Magic.
She's.
What are the twins about? Are they, like, her?
I think they're, like, they have, like, a psychic connection. I'm not positive because, again, I didn't watch a ton of Mothra movies unless she showed up in Godzilla movies. I think they have, like, a psychic connection with her and, like, can kind of, like, speak on her behalf.
Did you see the twins?
I
with
did.
Yang-Zi's,
I was just going to say. That's a really cool Easter egg. And, like, that's what I'm talking about, is that they actually have reverence for the old movies and they tie some of this stuff in so that it makes sense. They didn't have tiny little Japanese twins that could talk to a giant creature, and that's okay because they had they sort of just made a little, like, wink wink reference to it, right? Where they showed like her family was a generation of twins and she's a third generation Monarch employee. Really, really great. They did a number of really cool Easter eggs in this, and I got them on a list. I want to make sure I talk about all of them, but we don't
have
to
do it right
now.
Did you write them
down? I did.
From memory, or did you
just
Google them?
No, just from memory. I'm impressed. Just things that I noticed.
Hold on, before you do, I remember a Mothra Easter egg in the 2014 Godzilla,
yes.
But I can't remember what it was.
It was when the Aaron Taylor Johnson yeah. went back, I think, to his old home that got destroyed when he was young. Or something like that, or a city that they were living in got destroyed.
Yeah, like his, yeah.
There was a little like terrarium in mm-hmm. which he was keeping a moth, and there was like a piece of tape with a name written on it, and the name was Mothra.
Oh, cool.
I don't think it has anything to do with the Mothra in this movie. It was just kind of a cute Easter egg.
What other Easter eggs you got for this movie? I know there was a ton. I was like eyeballing all the backgrounds.
I know.
Like I remember Eleven had an email that said something about like indigenous species, mm-hmm. Skull Island, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah.
What else did you notice?
There was a ton of really obvious calls to what the next movie in
yeah,
the series
Skull
is,
Island,
which is
Kong
versus Godzilla. Like yeah. they had a ton of Skull Island, King Kong references. But some of the deeper cuts, I liked the opening scene of this movie was a different perspective of 2014's movie.
Ooh, I like that.
From different
yeah.
characters. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. The coolest part about that is you saw in the very beginning, off in the distance, you could see, you know, 6 or 8 red lights coming down from the sky. Mm-hmm. That was the halo jump that all the soldiers took mm-hmm. in that first movie, which if you haven't seen the movie in a while, like you might not remember, but that was one of like the most visually stunning scenes in that first
yeah,
one.
It was
yeah.
awesome.
And so it was really cool because they sort of tied that in by showing that off in the distance, but getting a different perspective of that from our human characters that we followed in this movie.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a neat little Easter egg or way
that.
To tie
That's
it
awesome.
In. Yeah.
I can't
really
wait
cool.
to see this again and look for that.
Ken Watanabe's character is mm-hmm. Dr. Serizawa, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of fanboying know-it-all Godzilla-y here. Dr. Serizawa is also the name of the doctor in the very first Godzilla movie
Ooh.
Who creates a weapon called the Oxygen Destroyer, which is the thing that ends up killing Godzilla in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Which brings to the next Easter egg, which is that the army developed a weapon called the Oxygen Destroyer that they tried to use against both Godzilla and Ghidorah, and it didn't kill Godzilla, but it did take him out. So,
yeah.
again... Just small little Easter eggs like that.
Yeah,
that
you
can
tell
show.
Michael Dougherty watched the shit out of these
yeah,
Godzilla
absolutely.
Movies. And like he was all about adding tiny Easter eggs for mm-hmm. huge fanboys.
Yep.
I love that.
So, and then the only other thing was, this isn't an Easter egg, but super obvious, but the Godzilla theme being worked into the score. I was
yeah.
so happy to see.
That was
I
awesome.
I love that song.
What do you think about Ken Watanabe's goodbye to Godzilla? Goodbye, old friend. Ham-fisted or earned?
I thought it was touching.
Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. He finally got, like, he's been obsessed with Godzilla mm-hmm. forever. And, like, I don't, would Godzilla have any idea who this guy is?
So, I don't really
love.
Do you
think they have a connection?
He might, which sounds stupid, but, and this is, I hate when movies do this, but there's a prequel comic.
Oh, my God.
Where he's been experiencing Godzilla since he was, like, a boy.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Is
or, like,
canon?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
And I hate that you shouldn't ever have to go to a different medium to get the context that you need for a movie, but
yeah.
it helps, I think, a little bit here knowing that he has encountered him in his youth, and like I think that's why he's like so attached to him
yeah.
and wants to protect him because he's been around for a long time.
I saw it as one-sided affection, though. I feel like Godzilla's like, who
he,
are you?
He
just give me that nuke.
Doesn't care. Yeah, it just depends. It's tough because I don't... sometimes they make him seem like he's a little bit more intelligent and emotional... and can pick up on that stuff. And then
yeah.
other times they're like, no, he's just an animal and like a force of nature. So like
yeah.
tonally, I don't know what the movie wants us to think
yeah.
about him, which I think is kind of a little bit of an issue.
So we're getting to the last third of the movie here. On that same note with Ken Watanabe. So did Godzilla live in Atlantis?
That's a good question.
Was that a city that was eventually submerged, or did people go under there and build these statues? What's going on there?
I would have to imagine that it was just submerged at some point. Like, it's obviously,
so
like,
it was Atlantis.
Super old, like,
yeah.
one of the first civilizations, but it doesn't make much sense, but it was
it.
A cool set piece.
He's got a little home.
He does.
Yeah.
Lava flowing and people, you know, murals to him and everything.
How about the guy ejecting himself directly into Rodan's mouth? R.I.P. F.
F to pay respects.
F to pay respects to that.
Yeah,
bro.
That sucks for him.
I thought the whole Rodan versus like jets was awesome. Just
really cool.
Just smoking these.
Does
jets.
A barrel roll and
yeah.
just takes them all out. Yeah, it was
and
awesome.
And just like how like much of a force he is, just like he folds his wings and just goes like mm-hmm. straight up and then just slams down.
Yeah, that was really
just
cool.
Just a heavy dude.
And I love like as he like skims the water, yeah. like as he's pulling up and his feet just kind of skim the water.
You
I
can
love
tell
that
he's
type
like,
of stuff.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of weight to him.
That's a good point just for the movie in general. Like I really appreciated the weight yeah. behind these. Like
in Transformers, they're just
exactly.
hunks of
metal flying
around.
They can do backflips and like when Godzilla gets moving, you can really feel like he and Pacific Rim did that really well, I think, yeah. is they showed that they're not super agile. There's not like insane fight choreography. It's just yeah. these just two big animals brawling.
Yeah.
They all felt very heavy and real. Afterwards. Yeah, I loved yeah. it.
How about the shot after Atlantis when they wake Godzilla by nuking him and it kind of like zooms in on his face? Did you catch that?
Mm-mm.
He gets out of the water and he's like, and it just goes and zooms oh, in. Yeah. And I was like, what the hell is that?
There were some really silly, like awkward kind of scene changes.
Yeah. And some shots of him where they're trying to make him look like a lab almost, like a cute puppy.
Yeah. And that's where I'm like kind of confused is like, is he, you know, he looks at people and sometimes it's almost like I'm waiting for him to like give him a nod of approval. And I'm like, is he just this, does he care? Like, is he looking at us like, I don't care about you? Or is he looking at us like, I got you guys.
I prefer him being just on the side of like nature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I like him being like, I connect with you. Human.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want him to be a chocolate lab.
And that was one of the things that I actually kind of was like, not to talk too much about the first movie, but I was like, the trailers made it seem like he was going back to original Godzilla, which was, I'm here to just destroy things. And that's sort of what I was expecting. So I was actually kind of bummed because I wanted a little bit of a return to just like horror Godzilla. Yeah. Like, we can't do anything against this guy. He is our reckoning. But they made him in that one. They made him sort of protector of the earth. And like, those are the films that when I was growing up, I enjoyed more.
Yeah.
Because it just gives you a little bit more leeway to do more cool things and add more monsters.
You get to root for Godzilla instead
exactly.
of like, want to see him die.
Right.
And nobody wants to see. He's just too cool.
He is.
Mothra appearing out of the sky was beautiful. Kind of like this wondrous, angelic creature coming down. When she eventually, I guess, dies, does she kind of like sprinkle some potion
some
on
of
him?
Some of her
essence.
So they talk how they justify her being a good guy girl or like
she's
Godzilla's teammate is that they're like they have a symbiotic relationship, but they didn't go into how.
Yeah,
like what is their?
You've seen those cute animal videos of like goats.
Yeah, but
and
what
ferrets.
Is this? What does a moth do? Like, in order to have that relationship, they have to be both benefiting mutually. Like, what was their benefit? That's what I didn't get to understand. It was just
could
like
be
a throwaway.
Sexual. You don't want to. Oh my God. You don't want to get into it.
They're either here to fight, feed, or
something more intimate. Yeah, I was like, oh, they'll put that in my mind. I mean, what? Godzilla doesn't have a female to mate with, so he's got to do something.
Guess?
Maybe she like rolls up. Where and, I don't know. I'm not gonna get into it. What I thought they would eventually do with Mothra, they made a point of showing that like. You know what moths do? They have like big eyes on their wings and stuff. I thought she'd eventually like intimidate Ghidorah with her eyes and like confuse him.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for something like that, but it never happened. Does that ever happen in the old movies?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I think they did a good job for the most part. I mean, there's only so much monster you can show, budgets, things like that. I would have liked to see a little bit more fighting between the other monsters. A little like they had the Rodan and Mothra fight, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mothra kind of attacked Ghidorah, but it was more of just sort of like a Theon
she flies
run.
In and just gets, like, swatted, You're a good man, Theon. Thank you.
Yeah, she was more of just like the. I think they used her more to show like the majesty of these creatures or what they can be, as opposed to just destructive forces.
She looked beautiful.
Yeah, she was
incredible.
Really cool.
Godzilla eventually killing. Well, hold on. Ghidorah biting into that power cable, then spewing lightning through the sky was
so,
cool. They keep changing the color. Like, Godzilla has this, like, awesome blue.
Mm-hmm.
Ghidorah has this bright yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... And then...
Mothra's
a
rainbow.
Mothra's rainbow.
Rodan's
on, like,
got
white.
This, yeah.
And Rodan is just, like, demonic
embers,
fire
yeah.
ember.
Yep.
Like, the color in this movie was so cool.
Really good use.
Yeah, Ghidorah biting into that. I think he, like, sees it pulsing. And he's like... Mm-hmm. I'm going to try this, see if this works out, and then just blast the sky with yellow energy, and it just looks so cool.
How did you feel about the different heads having kind of different personalities. Did you, you know, pick up on that a little bit?
I had heard that they did, but I didn't really notice much except for them, like, kind of nipping at each other. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like one was stupid and one was, like, lovey.
I was worried about that. Yeah. Because I heard that, too, and I was like, are they going to have, like, the goofy one, the serious one?
Like, his eyes drooping or something? Yeah.
I like that, like...
Like, three hyenas and Lion King or something.
It showed that it was still one creature, but, like, the heads did sort of have...
They were independent.
Yeah, they had to kind of get on the same page a little bit. It was cool. Yeah.
They were kind of, like, the main one was kind of, like, putting the other ones in line and, like, biting him. And, like, I think one was, like, trying to lick something and that other one, like, smacking him.
There was, like, an alpha head. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Godzilla, they had to top the last movie. The last movie, the big, like, awesome moment was his spikes.
Oh, that sound effect is so good.
Breathing fire into the other guy's mouth. Obviously, he does it, like, five times in this movie before the finale. So, they eventually make him go Red Super Saiyan by... We blow him up, we give him a nuke, and then he basically kills Ghidorah by just, like, nuclear pulsing at him, which looked awesome.
Looked really cool.
But I was kind of expecting one more kind of, like, finishing blow.
Yeah.
He kind of, like, did the nuclear pulse twice, then just, like, stepped on him.
Yeah, it was... I wanted to see, a stream of his... Versus just pulsing. Every time he pulsed, I'm like, okay, that's fine, push him back, but, like, let's see, like, a super atomic breath come from him. That would have been a little cooler, but... Yeah.
So... It was like two nuclear pulses, then it was like, okay, movie's over. But then he rises out of the ashes and has the main Ghidorah heads in his mouth and is just like crunching him.
Well, it's cool because you thought that it was Ghidorah rising out of the rubble.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of like a red herring and you see that he's got the head down his throat.
Yeah, that was intense. But again, I'm with you where I really kind of wanted one more big finishing blow. But God, him turning red was so
freaking cool
looking.
I probably preferred the pull open the Muto's mouth and just spit fire down his throat.
I think that was a better
more than this, but this movie had way more of those money shots than 2014 did, and I appreciate that.
And as good as Gareth Edwards did with making really good moments of scale, I think in this movie it might have almost been better. I think in 2014 it was more intimate and less reveal-y, which that was a complaint, but you lose a little bit of the magic when it's the whole movie like that.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with it.
Yep.
I'm not going to complain about it. That's exactly what I want. I think there's a time and a place for like teasing, but boy, I was so happy with what I saw here as far as the fights go.
There's only so many chances I think we're going to get to see source material, which is men in goofy rubber suits be adapted with a multi-million dollar, $100 million budgets to make it look that cool. So I'm going to take whatever we can get. And what we got was a pretty good amount. Obviously, I wanted more. I'm always going to want more. And a movie can't just stand on that. Well, I think I'd watch 2 hours of that. But I get why it's not all of that. And what they did, they delivered, I think. Especially compared to 2014.
I agree. My only other... I wrote down that literally every major character should be dead. All of the flying rubble. There's a scene where a soldier is holding onto this kid. He's like, hold on, kid! And the kid is just in midair, just getting torn to shred by shrapnel in real life. Then he's on the plane that they, again, crash into another plane. And I'm just like face palming, but also like jaw dropping next 30 seconds.
Or like Maddie when she's in the... at the baseball stadium, once stuff goes to hell, like everything's tore up. And then the dad and the soldiers are there and they're like, she's not here. I'm like, she could be under any rubble. Like, you don't know that she's not there.
Thomas Middle is just like, he's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to look for my daughter. She's all I got left. He's like, where? He's where are you going?
Meanwhile, four soldiers go out, get obliterated.
Yeah.
What about them? I'm sure they have families.
How did he get that pull? He's like, okay, the government's like, I approve this side mission for you to go get this dude's daughter, who was last seen in possession of the mom.
Right.
I don't think he even knew she had run away, so stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, so stupid.
There's so many things that I could pick apart that don't make sense, like how this organization that isn't funded or ran by the government has as much money as S.H.I.E.L.D. and Tony Stark combined. Like, it's ridiculous the amount of like bases and tech they have. Like, who is their funder?
Yeah, I don't know. They clearly were fighting the government takeover, so like, how do they get money?
Who cares?
Again, I've got some Reddit stuff because they always have some great tidbits, and then we'll talk about the after credits and what they're going to do next movie. You got anything else?
The only other thing I was going to say, and I'm not going to dwell on it too much because it probably wouldn't have fit in this movie, but it would have been a cool Easter egg if they incorporated Ghidorah's roar from the old movies in it. It's like, it goes like a...
Oh, really?
Like a little bitty, 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 like high-pitched noise. It sounds sort of weak, but it sounds so otherworldly and like alien.
That would have been cool. Hint of it?
Maybe like the tiniest bit, but I was listening for it. I thought maybe it was there, but I would have appreciated if they would have dialed it up a little bit. Like if he roared and then sort of like the come down from that roar was just like that little bit, that would have been cool.
The Mothra's sounds were pretty similar, weren't they?
Yeah. She was cool. That's all I got.
So I always like to comb through Reddit. They pick up a lot of stuff that I don't. Apparently the credits had Godzilla as himself, Mothra as herself, Ghidorah as himself, and Rodan as himself.
Did they really?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny because
I'm sure... Do they do that in the old ones?
Well, no. In the old ones, they probably credited the actors rubber who suits. Were in the suits or the puppeteers. Yeah, funny. Which is actually kind of a funny nod. I didn't catch that.
Quote, Rodan went full Starscream. What a little... Calling it now, Rodan will betray Godzilla / Good Titans in the next one, and Kong will straight up rip his wings right off while Big G charges up the atomic breath for the finisher. Kaiju bro fist bump optional. You're welcome, Hollywood. I'll save this for when we talk about the after credits. One second.
I just had one more thought.
Oh, go ahead.
So I'm a little surprised that, and I think this is just because of the roadmap that they laid out and the fact that I believe Legendary's license of these characters expires after the following movie. But I kind of feel like Ghidorah should have been saved for a third one.
I agree.
Like, there was, like, almost too much going on from the first movie. The ramp-up got insane.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got three heads. The marketing, the poster sells itself with three heads, right? Yeah. Like, he's usually, like, he's the big bad of most of the Godzilla movies. So I'm kind of,
we'll talk
like,
about where it's going to go and, like, how the heck they're going to scale up from here.
Yeah. So, it seems like they played him a little early, but if they only have four movies in this universe to work with, then I'm okay with
it. I think this is their way of saying, like, we can do this. Give us more characters. Like, hopefully. Let us have this property.
Hopefully.
We know what we're doing. Another Reddit comment. Imagine getting the shit kicked out of you, going home to rest and recharge by your fireplace. Then a little ant walks up to your face, touches your nose, and then blows up a hand grenade next to you.
But he thrives off nuclear energy.
I know. Yeah. That's what it said. Vera Farmiga is the Thanos of the Monsters universe.
Yeah.
She did want to kill most of humanity.
Yeah. They painted her as a villain in the trailer, and then I was like, oh, wow, maybe they just were doing editing to throw me off. And then I was like, oh, no.
She bounced back and forth.
Yeah.
Mothra, stab. Rodan, surprise Pikachu face. let's talk about after credits. So my first thought isn't there like a Mecha Ghidorah?
There is, but... I don't think it would fit in this universe.
So the after credits, Charles Dance, Tywin from Game of Thrones, goes to Isla Nublar again, essentially from Jurassic Park. That's not what it's called at all, but it was Nublar something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
And
it was where Rodan came out. It's where they use the oxygen destroyer.
Yes.
And because they made a mention that like nothing within a 2-mile radius of that is living anymore.
And a bunch of fishermen have apparently captured one of Ghidorah's heads.
Which is the head that Godzilla bit off.
Okay. So how did it get there?
I think that's where he bit it off. When he was fighting with him in the water.
Gotcha.
That, which, by the way, was an awesome scene because you could see him chewing on one hand, fighting another one off with his other arm, and then taking the third one and drowning it. He was dunking it under the water like a bully in a public pool. It was great.
The fight scenes were incredible. But yeah, some fishermen pick up the head and sell it to Charles Dance, and he's like, yeah, I'll take it. What do you think they're going to do with that?
That's a good question. I have a real hard time seeing them sell Mecha King Ghidorah.
Yeah, that's almost like a jump little the shark Transformers.
Yeah, it's a little silly
audiences
for me.
Are gonna be like, wow, this looks dumb.
Yeah, but it's pretty. You know, we've wondered like, how do you escalate from here to Godzilla versus Kong? Right, it seems like a huge downgrade.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that plays into it, because my thought this whole time was you should have saved, if you're gonna bring Kong into this, save Ghidorah, have him. Godzilla and Kong fight at first, and then a bigger predator comes, and so then they have to team up against him, which
who
seems like
there?
Maybe they're going.
Like, who else? Well, let's talk about that in a sec. Real quick, there's a Reddit theory. The Ghidorah head was exposed to the oxygen destroyer, and is now in the hands of a man who deals in Titan DNA and doesn't care how much destruction he causes, who also intends to destroy the human race. Destroya is coming.
Oh, interesting.
He's a big bad, right? He's a big old bad.
Yeah, he's a pretty big force.
Let me Google this guy so I can refresh
think
my memory.
So I know that he has multiple forms. he's one of the big ones. I think he's made from the Oxygen Destroyer.
He is like one of the big awful Monster Hunter monsters we fought.
Yeah, he looks like it. He's he's tough.
He is demonic. Oh, this would be
I would love to see a Hollywood take on him.
Yeah, he basically looks like
I'm blanking King Kong, entirely on his lore, though. He basically looks like
Godzilla, but the devil.
I forgot the fact that they established that Jonah, I think is the character's name, Charles Dance's character, does deal in Titan DNA. So yeah. He's clearly plans on using him to do something.
Yeah.
But what? I don't know. So hopefully it's not Mecha King Ghidorah, but I think it'd be cool if they used it to just create, you know, something accidental. Because a lot of the kaiju in the old movies were created from something stupid, like a guy spliced like rose DNA with cells from Godzilla from one of his battles, and then like blood from his daughter or something. Like he was doing something stupid and he created this terrible monster.
In what movie? The Japanese ones?
Yeah, one of the Japanese ones. Gotcha. So it's not super far-fetched. It's a lot better, I think, than making a huge... I mean, Ghidorah was enormous in this movie, like towered over Godzilla. So making a mech version of that is
I like the Destroyer route now that I've refreshed my memory of what he looks like. Okay, let's talk about the next movie. It's clearly Godzilla versus King Kong. Adam Weingart directing. He's directed a horror movie called You're Next. Really great film. He did the Death Note movie, and he did another one that I just told you that I can't remember. The Guest was another movie that he did with the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. That also was good. He's more of like a horror action type guy. I thought Michael Dougherty for this movie was a very inspired choice. Perfect. I remember when we first learned that he was going to take this on. We're both huge Trick or Treat fans. Yes. We loved Krampus, and we were so pumped for this. I'm not that thrilled about this next director, but I'm also even less thrilled about like how they're going to take what we just saw and escalate.
It feels like a downgrade both on Godzilla's nemesis and director.
Yeah.
They made a point in Kong Skull Island to show that, this is a baby. He's still growing. But he doesn't really have any beams or plasma. He's very agile, I suppose.
Basically has magic. You got Rodan, who's a demon giant pterodactyl.
Right.
Ghidorah's got three heads and can spit lightning. And Godzilla's got atomic fire breath. King Kong's a big monkey.
He's fast.
Yes.
And he's smart.
Smart.
And I think they show that this version of him is very smart.
Yeah. He can like do tricky stuff. He can use his environment
and everything. Yeah. So maybe it's hard to go from the biggest bad in the Godzilla universe to Kong.
There was literally a news article in the credits that said something about King Kong, and it said like, "What place does a king have with a god?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "True.
Yeah.
True." Random news clipping in the credits. That's right. Like, what are they gonna do?
I don't know.
So Adam Weingart has come out on Twitter and said I want the audience to feel like there is a winner after this movie. Because in the old movies, there was never winners, right?
Yeah, there wasn't.
They kind of teamed up or...
So I think maybe in the American version, they changed it. Mm. I believe there's two different versions of King Kong versus Godzilla. And I think maybe in the American version, they're like, no, we're not going to have a Japanese monster win. Like, we're so gonna petty. Have a draw or
so
we're
petty
have... Yeah, it's so stupid. I hope that they in this next movie at one point they have King Kong shove a tree down Godzilla's
yeah
throat.
Absolutely. That's a throwback. I'm Team Godzilla all the way,
of course.
Like, yeah,
Kong is great. I like that movie a lot.
I like King Kong a lot.
He's cool, but nothing
doesn't
touches,
hold a candle to the awesomeness of Godzilla.
Long live the king.
Long live the king. I have to imagine they'll go that route of bringing in another bad. Maybe they'll tease Destroya. I don't think they can't possibly bring in Destroya for this next movie, right? Or will they? It's the only thing that makes sense.
I don't know where they're
going to
go.
The Godzilla vs. King Kong battle does not have a 2-hour story.
I don't think so either. I think it's going to be them fighting. I think there's going to be a bigger threat. And then I think the reason why we're going to have a clear winner is that probably King Kong will end up dying.
Yeah,
I agree. It would be my guess.
They have to. I mean, they teased something new.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have. I don't think they would have teased that after credit scene for a movie after Godzilla King versus King Kong.
No, I don't think they have the rights to do it. Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. In my mind, that's what I'm going with. It's going to be them fighting for half the movie. They'll reveal that another threat's coming in the trailer to get the audience in the seats, but then it'll be a team up.
Yep, I think so too. Which I'd watch.
Yeah, I'm all into that. Overall, I had an absolute blast watching this. I know you did too.
Loved it.
Absolute. I don't want to say trash script, but not a good script.
Wasn't great.
Some bad dialogue, absolutely shallow characters, weird motivations throughout the whole movie.
Some good humor, though, depending on if you like that stuff.
But at the end of the day, we came in there to see monsters fight, and
we did.
For the first time in a long time, we got it.
Yes, we did. Finally, Hollywood got it right.
They got it right. I gave it a B+. It was thoroughly entertaining. I had a blast watching it. I did not go in with any sort of story or script expectations. What did you give it again?
B plus. I'm too early to really settle on anything, but it's going to be in that range.
If you want to see monster on monster action, this is the film. If you want to see a great story, great script, great character development, go watch Shawshank Redemption. That's right. Incredible film. Thanks for joining. It was a blast.
Thanks for having me. I could probably keep talking for an hour, but
we probably will the rest of the night. That's right. We got some drinking to do. All right, that's it for Glitchcast episode 71. We'll be back eventually for something. Let us know what you thought about Godzilla King of the Monsters. Make sure to follow us, tweet us, like us, review us. That'd be a huge help. And go to glitchup.com/Amazon. Place a quick order. We get a small kickback. Again, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And long live the king.
Long live the king.